following, as you look at the title of our lesson, there seem to be three disjointed topics all put together here. And that is, as you look at it, the way it came, and then also citizenship, the value of citizenship, and then finally, of making a home. And that's just kind of close to the idea of making a home, so on that line is there. And you may wonder, how do these three things all tie in together? Well, this one's lesson again that is based on current events. And a lot of times the current events that we talk about are, in the last time we talked about the football player, the class, and actually some of the good things came about from that. This here is not that kind of story because it's one that's been in the news quite a bit in the last week or two. Tyree Nichols, and all of us I think have heard that name. A black man, 29 years old, lived in Memphis, Tennessee, had a 4-year-old son and also, worked at FedEx. And, down there in Memphis, FedEx is kind of like UPS up here in Louisville. It's one of the major hubs of FedEx is that Memphis airport. And so they employ a lot of people. The man that had apparently not had any kind of run-in with the law before, no rap sheet, we may say, no history of violence or anything like that. But he's pulled over on January 7th, and the result of that pulling over and all the things happen afterward, he winds up in a hospital and dies 3 days later. And the body footage of from the policeman of the arrest shows what happened in that situation, the beating and all that happened there. And let me just put in there a little bit of personal information I can give about Memphis and that. My family, we lived out in the Memphis area about 10 years. By area, I mean about an hour away from it. So a lot of our local news dealt with Memphis. And it's a city that has a lot of high crime rate, has sections of the city that are very violent, that are known for violence. Most likely think about it, Chicago or Detroit or Miami or many of your major cities that have areas that the police realize is dangerous and a lot of crime goes on there. A lot of murders go on in that area. However, as you look at this here, again, the body footage shows that they totally went over the top. And basically, they beat the man, and he winds up dying because of that. Five police officers have been suspended or arrested. Actually, I think six right now has been suspended. And ironically, they were members of the elite source, an elite unit there in Memphis called Scorpion. Which I find ironic because Scorpion is an acronym which stands for Street Crime Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods. And so that was the goal of actually this unit here, but honestly that did not happen. Since that time they have been disbanded. They have stopped that unit. But as I got thinking about all the events that went on with that, and again, three ideas came to my mind and that's tied in this. One is simply the ugliness of sin. And we talk about the results of sin, the consequences of sin. Sin brings about death and sin, and all the bad things come about by sin. And a lot of times, though, yet people kind of make fun of it. People just try to treat sin, certain sin especially, as being no big deal. But every now and then, something happens that really does get our attention. And people, everybody says, this is really bad. And as I thought about that, I thought about the way it came. And that is, as you read here for us, as was read for us a few minutes ago, when you think about Cain, of course, you're thinking about Genesis 4th chapter. And again, kind of just rereading that passage there, in Genesis 4 verse 3, it said, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of the fat, other fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain talked to Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and killed him. And we're very familiar with this case here. And as you look at Cain and Abel and really the first murder, what you realize is that there are things that a lot of times today we attribute to the reason certain violent acts occur, reason that people do things. But we look here at Cain and Abel, We say, well, there are things we know that did not have a part to play with this. Okay, and that is that, for instance, we know that it had nothing to do with race relationships. In fact, in the case here in Memphis, all the officers that were, the five officers involved in the beatings and all that went on down there were all black, and this was also black men. So you really can't turn around and say, well, it's simply a race relationship issue right here. It wasn't that. And same thing here about Cain and Abel. They, after all, were brothers. And so it wasn't a case of black or white or red or yellow or any other kind of ethnic type of conflict like that. Nothing like race relationships. It had nothing to do with the idea of economic conditions. Well, a lot of times today we talk about rich or poor, whether you grew up in the ghetto or you grew up in the suburbs or where it is, how much money you have in the bank, things along that lines. Again, it had nothing to do with that because they were both apparently, that they each one had their own thing they were doing, one taking care of the flocks, another one being a farmer or tiller of the ground. And they both had their offerings and presented to God. There's no indication at all there was any kind of economic reason behind this. And not only that, but also we can say it had nothing to do with the idea of society's influence. Now again, a lot of times today we do look at what's being said out there and the influence of society as far as rules and messages being sent out to especially young people. And we could look at that and say, well, what do you expect when you send out those messages? And people are going to do accordingly. But again, with this situation here, there's no society to really send out influence at all. You had two brothers going out and offering this offering. But we can say that this here occurred because of some things. And one is that it occurred because, first of all, because of disobedience to God. And that is, as you have this sacrifice brought to God, God has specified, told them what he wanted to offer, what he wanted them to offer, and Cain missed the mark. In fact, if you look over in Hebrews 11 verse 4, it said, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he attained witness as he was righteous, God testified his gifts, and through he being dead, just still speaks. Now Genesis really doesn't tell us. And I often have read back through Genesis and I often inferred or thought in my mind that Cain offered something that God did not say to bring the offer and Abel did. Perhaps that's what happened. Perhaps it was simply one offered it by faith according to trying to please God, but the other was not trying to do that. However you want to interpret it, by faith, Abel had it and Cain did not. And yet God tells Cain, if you do what I said to hey, you, if you offer the right sacrifice to me, then you will be accepted. And so that tells me here that the difference between Cain and Abel was by faith. However you want to look at that passage, it's by faith made the differences. So Cain chose not to do what God said to do. And so disobedience to God. And much like all sin is ultimately disobedience to God. The second thing we say is because of anger. And in fact, our passage says that he became angry, and that is the idea of bolt up. And when you read the definition of anger, and there are different stages of it, wrath talk about, but also this idea of the boil over, to simmer for a while, to stew, and then eventually to boil up and boil over here. And that's what Cain does there. He allows this emotion to take over, and he boils over. And a lot of times, again, people do things. As far as whenever we're angry because, and we regret it later on. Now I don't know what happened with these police officers before they pulled over this man on January 7th. That has something to do with that, but if you look at any of the footage, and I didn't look at a lot of it, but it's obvious that there's a lot of anger going on in that situation, and again, that happens a lot when people do things very rash. But not only that, but also we can say it's because Cain ignored God's warning. I mean, literally, God tells him, and this is kind of like a red flag here, if you read Genesis 4, verse 7, where he says, if you do well, we'll not be accepted. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and desires for you, but you shall rule over it. I mean, that, he just kind of underlined that, and he's saying, warning, warning, warning. You have to take care. Be careful about what's happening here. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you, because you're about ready to do something wrong. And a lot of times we look, we find there are warnings that we have. And so we just need to pay attention to those warnings when we see them and be honest with ourselves and not ignore the warnings. And so as you think about Cain here, Genesis 4 chapter comes to mind, but also Cain is mentioned in the New Testament. In 1 John, and he's, in fact, I think the only character actually mentioned in 1 John, and that is that he's mentioned in 1 John as being the first murderer. And if you look over 1 John 3 verse 10, and there it says to us, and in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message they heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Kind of going back to our message this morning, our Bible class, Jesus talking about love one another as he loved you. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, his brother's righteous. John and his writing, trying to make a point, a very simple point. It makes a contrast between walking with God versus walking with the world. Doing what God says versus doing what the world says to do. And as you think about this, when we look at Cain here, we just see there the battle as far as the light versus darkness. And think about 1 John, first chapter. And that is that we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with God and one another. And we walk in darkness, we don't. And so think about the idea of love versus hatred. And we're told to love our brother. And he said, don't be like Cain, who was the wicked one, who hated his brother. Don't be like him. And so when you look at all these cases, we just kind of have to keep in mind that we learn from Cain the way it came. And that is, we choose to obey or disobey God. We need to choose to obey God. Because the way of Cain is to disobey God. We choose whether to ignore or to heed the warnings of God. To look at the Bible, and I know Brother Stalby, when I preached down in Trenton, Florida, he was about in his 90s that time, he said, son, the main words of the Bible is take heed. Take heed. That is, be aware, be careful. And there's a lot of take heeds in the Bible. And also, we decide what we're going to do with our anger. And so how we handle it, and just the way it came versus the way of the world, and versus the way of God. Ephesians 4:26 said, be angry, not sin, do not let the sun go down your wrath. We need to be careful about our anger. And so that came to mind, first of all, some of the ugliness of sin and the way it came. But a second thought came to my mind also, and that is, and again it may seem to be a little bit disjointed, but I'll explain here, and that is when you think about the fact of the importance of citizenship. The importance of citizenship. So we understand, and a lot of times people, when something happens, maybe authority figure or steps or bounds, we say something like, I know my rights. And what we mean by that is that we have certain rights established by our country, by our constitution, that we often will talk about. For the Bill of Rights, for instance, they look at and we have this Bill of Rights, and they specify these are certain rights we have. And you look at those rights there, and I just kind of list the eight there that talks about to us. And that is, you know, the right of the freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom to assembly, those kind of rights there. The right to bear arms, to carry weapons, they talk about there. The right that the government cannot make you do things like soldier quarter soldiers, and that is the time of the Constitution of 1776. Before that, the British Army was literally going to citizens saying, "You have to house our soldiers. You have to keep them. You have to feed them. You can't do that." And so, search and arrest, and all these rights you're talking about, and these are important rights. In fact, when the rights are violated, bad things happen. Look at this case of Tyree Nichols, and rights were violated, bad things happened. Those rights are given to us for a reason. Well, I thought about that in the sense that Paul, as you look at this here, that Paul mentions that his rights. And that is on a couple of different cases. In fact, Paul's arrested. In Acts 16 chapter, one of the first cases of that, he's arrested at Philippi, and because charge been made against him that basically that they were creating all kind of havoc, that he and the people around here were creating havoc. And so as you look at Acts 16 or 35, and said, when it was day, and they had arrested, when it was day, the magistrates sent the officer saying, let those men go. Now for this here, there's riot in the city, they take Paul, they beat them, they put him in prison. And you look here that we had the earthquake at midnight and the doors being open and the baptism of Philippian jailer, all those things happened right before this. Paul and Silas go back into prison. And so the next morning they said, let these men go. So the king of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to you to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. In other words, we've had enough of it. You know, just learn your lesson, go ahead and leave in peace and quiet. Just don't do this again, basically. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly. Uncondemned Romans have thrown us in prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. You see the difference as far as the city leaders, the magistrates before this here, when they just thought they had Paul and some Jews in prison, they was kind of like, okay, beat them. Next morning's all okay. Just let them go. But then when they find out these Romans, they were afraid. And let's just turn over to another passage. I didn't put it on the outline, but if you turn over to Acts 22nd chapter, and kind of almost the same kind of situation here. And as Paul again is arrested, and as there's a conversation that erupts here in Acts, the 22nd chapter, if you look around verse 22, I'm going to read down to verse 28. It said, they listened to him until this word, and when they raised the voice and said, away is such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Now, as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought to the barracks and said that he should be examined until under scourging. Kind of thinking about that. We're not examining you by beating you half to death. And he goes on and says, so that we might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is law for you to scourge a man who is a Roman? And uncondemned. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care of what you do. Well, this man is Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum of money, I tell you, this is. And Paul said, but I was born a Roman, a citizen. And say what you would here about how the Roman Empire was ruthless and how they did things. The one thing that Paul states, and that apparently is true, is that it meant something that as a Roman, you had certain rights. And even the soldiers, even the magistrates, dare not violate those rights as citizen of Rome. Which tells me that was important when he says, I'm a citizen of Rome. I'm a Roman citizen. That was important to all these folks here. And my point about all saying all that here is that we have to understand the importance of our citizenship. And I'm not talking about citizens of the United States. Now, obviously, there is importance here because that Bill of Rights had up there earlier applies to citizens of the United States, not everybody else. But you look at the Bible and it points out to us that as Christians, we are citizens of a different country, of a different kingdom. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which you also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to do all things to himself. And so Paul's point here is that, okay, now, we have a different kind of citizenship. A citizenship the world doesn't realize, doesn't understand. But he says it's true nonetheless. And this citizenship, by the way, is one that, like Paul, when Paul was asked, and basically the Roman soldier, I don't know if this was a trap to try to get him to say something he shouldn't say or not, but when the Roman centurion said, well, I had to buy my citizenship, Paul said, no, I was born one. I was born a citizen. What do you think about it? We are also born as citizens into this kingdom here. Not something you buy, but something that was purchased for you. And so we look over in John 3rd chapter with Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That was born of flesh to flesh, that was born of spirit to spirit. This is a spiritual birth. And so we need to understand what he's referring to, what that means. Because we're not going to get in the kingdom of God without being, quote, born again. Being born of the word of God, being born of the spirit, as he talks about in this passage here. And as we do that, as we are born that way, then as citizens, we have certain freedoms and we have certain things we can look at that we're free of. for instance, that we're free, the Bible says, from burden of sin. We're free from that. If you turn your Bible to Romans, the 6th chapter. And in Romans 6th chapter, the contrast, our comparison really in Romans 6th chapter is being a servant of God being versus a servant of sin, a slave of sin. And so in Romans 6, verse 18, it said, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness and lead to moral lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. So he's saying, you don't serve something. You don't serve either God or you don't serve sin. And if you serve sin, you're a slave of it. You don't be engulfed in it. And so we are free from that burden of sin he talks about. That we're free from regulation, traditions of men. Religion has always been fraught with human traditions, with idolatry, with things contrary to the Word of God. In fact, if you turn your Bible over to Colossians, I know a couple of passages here, not on the outline, but if you turn your Bible with me over to Colossians 2nd chapter. And in Colossians 2nd chapter, and this deals some with the idea of idolatry and what they were practicing, but largely with Judaism. And then wanting to take Judaism, some of the regulations of the Jews, and combine the law of Moses. And so in Colossians 2nd chapter 20, he said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, while still living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish for the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things do have an appearance of wisdom to self-imposed religion, false humility and negligence of the body, but no value against the indulgence of the flesh. They appear to be religious. People think they're religious when you do these things. Today there are certain things people do, and everybody says, that's a religious person. Is it in the Bible? And some of you look at the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says to do. It's not. That's simply human regulation, because it's not the Bible, it came from him. And so we look here, we're free from that. But also we're free to do things. We're free to worship God in spirit and truth. As Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman by the well. Now we can access God because we're his children, we're part of that heavenly kingdom. We go to him, we can worship him in the way that he prescribes to do. That we look that we have access to the throne of grace and prayer. That we can go to God as his children. And we can talk to him and we can tell him what we want. In fact, the Bible encourages us, almost pleases us to do that. And we just have to keep in mind that we're free to talk to our Father in heaven. And our citizenship again is in heaven. That's the point that he's making here. In 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verse 24. It said, then comes the end when there is the kingdom of God and the Father, when he puts into all rule and all authority and power. This is the eternal kingdom. That's where our citizenship is in. The third idea, that as I was thinking about Tyree Nichols, was something, again, I didn't watch a whole lot of the footage that, you know, I just hate seeing despicable things on television anyway, but one of the things that stood out to me was at one point he simply told the police officer, says, I just want to go home. And those were some of his last words as far as what I heard. I just want to go home. And you know, when you start thinking, that is such a simple request. He just want to go back to his mom. In fact, my understanding is within about 100 yards of where she lived at. He wanted to go back there. He wanted to go back and be with his son. He wanted to go back and be with his family. And not only that, but also, you know, home is where we belong. When we think about home, most of us think about a place that is of comfort, a place of love, a place of safety. Those kind of images come up with home. And as we look at it here, we just kind of realize that in a lot of ways we're just like him. And as we're just trying to make it home. That's what we're doing here in this life here. When the prodigal son, we read about him in Luke 15 chapter. As he leaves his father's house, goes to a faraway land, and wastes all of his goods and riots his living, what does he say? What was his goal at the end of everything, after he's partied up and lost everything he has, as he's in misery, what's his goal? Verse 17.
But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He just wanted to be part of the household. Not even as equal to the other son that this man had. He just wanted to be a part of the household. Just be back inside the household. That's what he wanted. And so think about, you know, that says a lot about our goal also. And many of the songs we sing, I was kind of thinking about the singing this morning we had and just kind of looked through our songbooks. You realize how many of our songs are about heaven and about home. Kind of uniting those two ideas here. And we have words such as, you know, this world's not my home, I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, I don't know what I'll do. That's kind of words right there. So the goal of this life here is to go to heaven, is to go back to our home. When Jesus is leaving, and we kind of started studying here in John 13, 14, 15 chapters here, but we think when Jesus went back to his home, he ascended to heaven. That was his home. And he made a promise to us. And that promise is in John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some translation says rooms. But it says, if I were so, not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. You know, that's such a simple goal. That's such a simple promise here. You come be with me. Because being a home is where we belong. It's a place of love and a place of comfort. And so we need to make sure we're living so as to make it home. And so we need to, you know, not follow the way it came. Understand the contrast we have between Cain and the ways of God and his people. Make sure we understand our citizenship is in the heavenly kingdom, the value of that, and make sure that we're aiming for that home in heaven above. Now, I did appreciate your kind attention in our lesson. And we have a song stuck now, 317. And our way of encouraging anybody that needs to be baptized in the Christ for remission of sin, or anyone needing our prayers for any reason, won't you let us know as we stand and as we sing.